Philippians was called the epistle of joy. And in that first message that we did a few weeks back, we heard that the gospel that Paul was proclaiming was indeed a gospel of joy, and that Paul himself had great joy in his heart as he thought about the believers there at Philippi, and as he remembered them. In fact, we looked at Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel." Last week we took that phrase, partnership in the gospel, and related that to our missions giving. But in that first message of Philippians, we made a distinction between joy and happiness. Joy and happiness. And we said that happiness is something that this world offers us, but it's really only a temporary happiness. And it's a happiness that is dependent upon our present circumstances. If I'm having a good day, I'm going to be happy. If I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to be so happy. So my happiness often is dependent upon my present circumstances. And as we know, our present circumstances will often change, and so therefore my level of happiness will often change. Joy, on the other hand, is something that comes from within. It defies our circumstances. It's the state of our heart. And it's not dependent upon if things are going well or things are not going so well. True happiness, as we learn from that opening message from Philippians, is a gift from God. It's a gift from God to those who have their grounding and their salvation in Christ Jesus. This brings us back to the things that truly give us joy at Christmas time. Would we have joy if some of our circumstances were different? Would we have joy if those wonderful Christmas cookies got burned? Would we have joy if that gingerbread house collapsed? Would we have joy if the dog ripped to shreds that red fluffy blanket? Or if the Steelers beat the Patriots on Christmas Day? Would our Christmas joy continue? Well, if we find our joy in the reality of Jesus and we look past the present circumstances, we will know that our joy, when it is built on Christ and grounded in what God has given to us, will continue. A great way to illustrate this is that great holiday classic, or at least to one of my students, the great holiday classic of Grinch. You remember that story? How many watched that story so often at Christmas time? Here was a Grinch who tried to steal the Christmas joy by taking away all the things of Christmas. Grinch was that bitter, grouchy, cave-dwelling creature who had a heart that was two sizes too small. He lived as a hermit up on Mount Crumpet. Now, down below was Whoville. And the people of Whoville always seemed to be filled with that Christmas joy. They were merry, they were warm-hearted, and so Grinch decided he was going to put a stop to that. He didn't have that same joy, and so it irritated him that others had that joy. And so he took his only companion, his little dog, Max. I always used to enjoy that character on the show. And so as Grinch heard the joy, he was going to try to stop it. So he devised a scheme in which he was going to go down to Whoville and steal their presents, steal their trees, steal all the food that they had prepared for their Christmas harvest. So they He disguised himself as Santa Claus. He forced poor Max to dress up like a reindeer and drag that sleigh all the way down to the town. But I remember I watched that scene, I always thought, that poor dog, working all by himself, and Grinch up there. But once down in Whoville, the Grinch then begins to slide down the chimneys of all the houses in order to steal away what he thought gave these people their joy. He stole their presents. He stole the Christmas tree. He even stole the log from the fire. His plan was briefly interrupted by little Cindy Lou. He came up with a little story or lie to kind of smooth that over, and he goes on from there and spends the rest of the evening stealing all the stuff from the homes of Whoville. And then he travels back up to the top of Mount Crumpet. And in the dawn, he hoped that their joy would be gone. He expected the people of Whoville to let out their bitter cries and their sorrowful wails. And he's confused because he hears yet again the songs of Christmas, the joy of Christmas. And he's puzzled until it dawns on him that maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more than just presents and feasting. There was a joy to Christmas. And then, as you know, Grinch's heart grows three sizes. And this reformed and liberated Grinch then returns to the village with a whole new perspective, and he participates in their Christmas feast. The citizens of Whoville had joy in their heart, not because of the presents and the trees and the trappings of Christmas, but it was because they had each other and they knew the true meaning of Christmas. Their joy was not based on their present circumstances. Our joy should not be based on our present circumstances. It should be based on Jesus. Based on Jesus. I have one final student response from my prompt question for them, and then we'll look at briefly the story of Matthew and just see the birth of Christ there. One student writes this to the question, what gives her joy at Christmas? She says, what gives me joy at Christmas is the fact that Jesus was born and that we get to celebrate that. Because without Jesus, I wouldn't have the parents I have today, caring friends, a wonderful family, a home, a school to go to, and so much more. Again, the joy of Christmas doesn't come from the things. It comes from Jesus and all that Jesus gives to us. We're going to look at real briefly the story of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. We're looking at Matthew's Gospel today because Pastor Kafalga will be bringing us a wonderful message next week from Luke's Gospel. But just looking as we close to Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. Matthew writes, and this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had a mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded, and he took Mary to be his wife. And in the last part of verse 25, and he gave him the name Jesus. The reality of Christmas is found in the name Jesus, in the reality of Jesus, in the fact that Christmas is about Christ coming, about Christ being that greatest gift of all. I hope we all enjoy the season of Christmas and have joy in Christmas, and that we recognize that in Christmas we have joy because of what Christ has given to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the joy that is Christmas, for that child who was given, for the birth of your Son, our Savior. Father, as we enjoy this Christmas season and we have the great joy that is ours in Christ, let us hold in our hearts the importance of that gift. The other things, the trappings of Christmas, the food and the experiences of Christmas will give us joy as well. But our joy is grounded in that precious child born in Bethlehem, announced by the angels, foretold by the prophets. Father, we thank you for the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas. Amen.